Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bruce Hall here with my buddy Matt, and we're getting ready for another great 2 hours.
Mediocre 2 hours, let's be honest.
It's going to be phenomenal. It's already phenomenal. The nice thing about having your own radio show and, you know, kind of having 8 million things on your mind is that, you know, that you'd like to talk about is you get a chance to... I always get in here at least an hour early, and I've already been up for 2 or 3 hours and contacted a lot of people. But, you know, we're going to have Sean Salisbury on second segment,
right,
10:15, talked about a little bit about what everybody's talking about, which is the Miami Dolphins situation with Jonathan Martin, and it's just a bunch of crap. I had a great time this weekend. I left Thursday at 4:30 a.m., and drove to Greenville, North Carolina from Northern Virginia. It's about a 4.5 hour drive. Sometimes when I drive, it's more like 4. But I went to Hall of Fame weekend at East Carolina University, my alma mater, where I went to play baseball and ended up wrestling also. And, you know, we get to see all the guys in the Hall of Fame and go down for a football game. Unfortunately, I'm so dedicated to the show, rather than take a chance on doing it via my computer link and all of that, which really doesn't make for as good a radio, if you've never noticed, when I'm like in Vegas or somewhere.
Especially if we don't have Roy, because if it's just me and everything goes to
well,
crap,
we don't have to worry about having Roy.
MLS.
We don't have to worry about having Roy much, because Roy has been on a, kind of an extended vacation. I mean, he's actually closer to where we are, where we do the show in Columbia, Maryland, than I am in Reston, Virginia. Yet I drove 4.5 hours last night, and I was falling asleep at the wheel. I drank way too much coffee, got home. Watch that Alabama-LSU game. Alabama is number one. Make no mistake about it, unless Auburn beats him. And by the way, the Auburn Tigers look pretty damn good in the last few games. I don't see it happening this year. I just don't think anybody's got the team to beat them. I think Texas A&M kind of got closer than anybody, and that's because they can score with them with Johnny Manziel. But, boy, they look good. And Florida State has, you know, because Oregon got beat, Florida State has jumped over that spot, and now Florida State will be number two. And Florida, it could end up being a Florida State. Stanford beat Oregon. Now, Stanford has the kind of team that could play with Alabama. Because they're physical, you know, that's where Jimmy Harbaugh was, you know, and he's an NFL coach. Not bad. He's with the 49ers now, and they're going to probably be in the Super Bowl again in the NFC. Seattle's going to have to make up some room, you know, some space there. They've got a lot of guys banged up. But, you know, I went down to North Carolina. On Thursday, I had a meeting with a new athletic director down there. He's a phenomenal guy. We talked a little bit about my dream and goal in my life. The next 20 years is to bring wrestling back, varsity wrestling, to East Carolina University. Wrestling has been, like all smaller men's sports, basically urinated on by the NCAA and Title IX and football. And football has 85 full scholarships. Why football, NCAA football, has any scholarships that even count towards men's sports? Because there is no women's sport opposite football. Show me a woman's sport with 85 scholarships. Well, great. You can't, okay? So what happens is those 85 scholarships go towards all the men's sports, and it creates, in most situations in the NCAA, excuse me, definitely does at East Carolina University, there's more women's sports than men's sports. But they ended up, they can't bring back wrestling after they dropped it in 83. They didn't drop it because of Title IX. They dropped it because of a money situation when they got two morons that showed up on the scene from Southern California. I think that I'm pretty sure the athletic director and chancellor were both from San Diego State University. And they came and basically got rid of, you know, men's soccer, men's wrestling. We were one of the top-ranked wrestling teams in the country for 10 straight years. And when I was there, we did some very special things. We won the Wilkes tournament twice. We won the Southern Conference championship three times. I went to the Nationals twice, the NCAA Division I national championships. But I was probably our sixth or seventh best wrestler on the team. We had some phenomenal wrestlers back then. So I talked to this guy. He's a great guy. He's from Northern Illinois. And he's, you know, went and ate some barbecue and basically told me like it was, don't get your hopes up. It would take you hitting the lottery, basically. And we'd have to fund the program. But you know what? You only live once on this earth, as far as I know, and I'm going to go out and start begging for money.
How much funding do you need for wrestling? Because it's basically $10 for a mat.
Let me explain how it was explained to me, and you'll understand. Okay. Most wrestlers that would go to East Carolina are from out of state. I mean, because the best high school wrestling is not in the state of North Carolina. Now, it has improved, you know, 500% in North Carolina high school wrestling. And by the way, wrestling at the high school level, and you hear this on WFAS when you hear the show on before ours, they're constantly interviewing New York high school wrestlers. New York has had some of the best high school wrestling in the country for years, Ohio, New Jersey, Virginia. But now North Carolina is getting there. And if you look at North Carolina, I mean, it's been one of the fastest growing states population-wise anywhere in the country. It's also one of the best states employment-wise anywhere in the country. And but the way it would work, Matthew, to answer your question, is a scholarship is approximately $30,000. That's just the tuition, okay? Mm-hmm. That doesn't, you know, they would give you a place to stay, but you actually, you know what I said, fully vested, wrestling is 9.9 scholarships. That means even if you have 20 guys or 30 guys on the team that are sharing money, you can only use 9.9 scholarships. That means the most you can give somebody is $300,000 in your tuition. What I would say is, like at George Mason University in Northern Virginia, where Joe Russell is turning a program into a very good program, and we talked about that last week, they only have 4 scholarships right now. Well, I told them we could start with 4 or 5 scholarships. That's approximately $150,000. But then you got to hire a coach. That's another $50,000 or so. Then you got to hire some assistants. They have to be in your program somehow. You have to also have equipment, mats. You have to have a locker room for everybody. And right now they're not set up for that. Bottom line is, it would be about a $500,000 per year for a 10-year commitment, $5 million for 10 years. You know what? To a lot of people that are in the United States, $5 million isn't a lot of money. Look at Capitol Hill. They have $17 trillion in debt. That's no money for them. They can print $1 trillion in no time. Maybe I should hit the government for this. Maybe the White House will help me out. No, that's absolutely never going to happen. Never going to happen because the wrestling.
You could take the wrestling into the political.
Let me tell
sphere.
You, the wrestling community is 95% Republican. I'm going to tell you that right now. Not even Republican, because nobody's a Republican nowadays. We're conservative. I'm actually a moderate. I found out. Listen to me bouncing around. But Matthew, that's what I'm talking about. It would cost about $500,000 a year.
Right.
And you can't do an endowment. Endowments have to go through the education system. You can only put 4% of the money in an endowment towards a sport. But you can take a donation directly to a program and use it. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And I got to spend, now that I'm not coaching wrestling anymore, I'm going to be raising money for the East Carolina University wrestling program. For all my friends down there that are hearing me say this, you know when I say something, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to die trying, that's for sure. Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm on the line with Sean Salisbury. Sean, an NFL insider, just a great guy to have on the phone, and I guarantee you that, Sean, I'm just going to ask you this question. It's a stupid question. Did you see that football game last night, Alabama-LSU?
I did. I sure did.
That I don't think there's any doubt who one of the teams is going to be in the national championship if they don't lose any more games. What do you think about this Florida State team, though?
I think they've both earned it. I still think Oregon's a really good football team. I think Stanford can play with anybody. I think Baylor, has been pretty special this year as well. But Florida State's take care of their business. Some may argue with their schedule, but what they do is when they do beat teams, they beat them up. I mean, if you have a bad team, they'll score 50, and they leave no doubt. And then when they play good teams like Clemson or a team that was ranked 7th at the time in Miami, they leave no doubt there. But Miami's loss, last night could obviously have a little bit of effect on that. But if they both went out, they're both going to the national title game, and I think deservedly so, and exciting players, and Florida State's physical with some athletes too. So that poses well. I'd be anxious to see how this redshirt freshman Winston plays in a national title game under that great pressure, but he seems like he's able to handle it. It doesn't look like it's too big for him. But Alabama, it's fascinating watching this team play. They beat you however they want. You're going to adjust to them. They don't adjust to you. They're going to make you play their game. You may hang around for a while, but they're going to get you, and they always do. And if you get them once during the season, you're not getting them a second time. I don't believe they're going to lose a football game. I don't believe anybody can beat them. I think they're the best team in America. And I'll be honest with you, it shows to me. I'm not sure they're at a different level. Their quarterback,
right?
The way he's efficient. They hit you even when they have injuries. Sunseri's out, but they still got enough guys. Mosley, in my mind, may be as good an inside linebacker as we have in America. They do it all. And as Coach Saban always, punches the, got to stay the process and stay the course. And they do. They follow the process of what it takes to win that play, that game, that quarter, that half, that game all the time. And I don't know how we can't say he's. I know he's the best coach in college football now, but I'm telling you, he may be as good as we've ever had all time. I think he's special. Anyway, he just gets it done, and their players respond. But you will play them, and you will respond to them. They're not gonna. They'll adjust if they have to, but they will beat you so bad,
right?
And just constantly stay on you. But eventually you have to respond to them in a way you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to watch. They're the best team in college football. And we always hear about, the finesse teams, the Baylors and the Oregons, can they beat them? Stanford proved that physical always beats finesse. They've done it 2 years in a row to Oregon.
Right.
And no matter what you do, if you hit a team in the mouth, no matter how – speed's great, but if you can't get that speed out of second gear, you can't win. And that's why Alabama's the best team in America.
I'd almost rather see the Stanford team play Alabama, because it'd be more of a like NFL type game. It reminds me of a lot of the San Francisco 49ers, the way they play ball. They hit you in the mouth and they stay on you. They're well conditioned. I don't think I've ever seen Nick Saban as happy at the end of a game as he was. I mean, he literally launched himself, and I didn't realize how big the quarterback was until he caught Saban.
Yeah, McCarron's a big dude. And you make a great point, because Nick always, it seems like when the game's over, it's like, okay.
I got to go to work tonight.
I got to go worry about the next one. And it seemed to me he took a few minutes to actually enjoy it, and it was almost pressure relieved, because as he looks at the rest of his schedule, although he won't overlook anybody, it's like, okay, he knew LSU could give them fits because they're quarterback. But they executed the game plan the way he wanted them to. And you make a great point about Stanford, Bruce, and I've said this on my show. And I've told people this for the last year. I said, aside from Alabama, the most consistent, when I'm talking about physical, do it the right way, they beat on you like Alabama does, I think Stanford's the most consistent team in America next to Alabama. I do. And I believe that since Harbaugh was there.
Right.
When he was there, and then David Shaw, and you want to talk about a bunch, everybody just calls them smart guys, and that they're, they're smart, non-athletic. Wrong. This is athletic, smart, physical. They don't beat themselves, and that's what I love about Alabama and Stanford. They do not beat themselves. So I would agree with you. I think that would be one hell of a football game to have Stanford and Alabama get it on.
Yep.
I'd love to see that game because they're so similar.
Right.
The difference is the quarterback. But I Alabama, Stanford, I don't think is going to get that chance unless they get a little bit of help here.
They'd have to get some help. And it's possible if you look at the schedules. But, I mean, Florida would have to beat Florida State, and that's not going to happen this year. I mean, that's not even going to be that good of a game, in my opinion. I'm pretty sure Florida just lost to somebody they weren't even supposed to lose to. Florida State yesterday, by the way, I went 6-0 yesterday. I don't do that very often, but it's getting very – we talked about this. The good teams are, because of the way that the BCS is set up, they're beating up the teams they play now because they're all playing for position and points. And you look at Florida State, Wake Forest. God, I felt sorry for Wake yesterday, but I had to give all of those points, even in Winston-Salem. They win 59-3 yesterday. You know, I mean, right, just unbelievable. My East Carolina Pirates picked a pass off at the end of the game to run a score to 58-24. I actually went to Hall of Fame weekend at East Carolina, you know, did the whole thing you do at USC, played in the golf tournament, had fun, did the banquet, all that stuff, got to see a lot of people, got to meet a really nice and meet with a new athletic director, who Jeff Confer, who was at Northern Illinois, and he's a breath of fresh air. All right, let's a little bit right now. Let's go to the NFL. I'm not going to talk about this, and if you ever look, you and I tweet back and forth. One of the things I said today is, if you're going to listen to my show, I'm not going to talk about bullying in an NFL locker room. These guys are adults; they do what they say. But I got to tell you, going to a Hall of Fame weekend, Sean, and you know guys like this. Back in the 70s. Half our team was black, half our team was white. Pat Dye was the coach. It was a deeply Southern team. You know, in Greenville, North Carolina, where everybody he recruited was from Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, North Carolina, pretty much. And there were stories that some of these guys were telling. Mike Weaver used to work for ESPN. You may even know him. And he used to do a few football games now and then. He sells prosthetics to hospitals now. I mean, he's got one of those great jobs you have. But he can tell a story like nobody's business. He was telling a story about a guy that's currently an college football coach in the South. He's a defensive coordinator, and I'm just going to say that. And he used to go into locker rooms and go into dorm rooms and go on to buses and drop the N-word like it was just every day, but he did it to diffuse situations. He'd go in there and start busting the chops of all of the black players, and they loved him. They still love him. And, you know, they would just call him a big fat, you know, whatever, because he was. And I got to tell you, you couldn't do that today, could you, Sean?
No, you know what it is? It's what somebody's willing to tolerate. And, you know, it is a heinous word, especially depending on how it's used. But, Bruce, there are, depending on, what a locker room and how the feeling is in that locker room. It's obvious in Miami. We don't even need it. It's been addressed ad nauseum. But there's not a lot of leadership in there. And what Richie Incognito is all about is he's not a good guy. You know, some teammates may like him or afraid of him. He's not a good guy, or he wouldn't do that. And Jonathan Martin's probably emotionally and mentally not set up to handle the everyday grind football life. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, it doesn't make him a bad guy. But it sure as heck doesn't make Incognito a good guy to have to be able to beat up on somebody like that. But it's something you got to, you know, I always believe that you handle it in-house.
Right.
I always believe that. And leadership takes care, and eventually enough's enough. A leader steps up and says, hey, dude, and no, we're not doing that today. You know, and you diffuse it right there. But you can't get away with it. But I'll tell you what, in every locker room I've ever been in, Bruce, there are a couple. I've had such great relationship. There are a couple guys that can, like you said, that can drop that N bomb with the A at the end of it instead of the hardcore ER. I mean, you know what I'm
saying? Right. Absolutely.
And some of the fellows, you know, it would take it affectionate because the guy may have. And when I say earned his stripes, there's no stripes you can earn that make that okay.
Right.
My point is, if you got a couple, when you're doing it in a third party, here, it's like, whoa, it's harsh. But I know, just like Chris Carter and me. Chris Carter called me white bread our whole career together. He still does. If he called me on the phone right now, he called me on the phone and said, hey, white bread, what's going on? Or in a game, if things weren't going well or they were going good, he'd think, come on, white bread, pick it up. And I can remember one time after a throw, Billy Green it was having a tough first quarter, and Denny Green goes, "Chris, get white bread going." But it was not harsh. That was an affectionate.
It was a term of endearment for you.
Exactly what it was.
You were their brother, and you know Denny. Denny likes everybody. He likes everybody.
That's right. And then he doesn't have Denny and Chris don't have a racist bone in their body, nor do I. But there are locker rooms. Every locker room I've been in, there may be a couple of white guys like me that if we wanted to, could get away with it because we're part of they feel like we get them, that we understand where the African Americans have had to, you know, the struggles they've had to go through. I know that sounds corny, but it's true.
Yep.
It's when you, but does it make it okay? No. And I understand completely. Hey, Mike Conte may be okay with it. Jonathan Martin may not.
Yeah.
And if it offends one guy, then that's too much.
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make. So, you know, it depends on what you're willing to tolerate, and it never makes it okay if somebody's bothered by it, and I completely understand that, and you got to find a way to get that out of the locker room if in case it bothers somebody, and in this situation it's bothered, and I guarantee it bothers more than just Jonathan Martin, but I think Richie Incognito has enough guys that are afraid of him that they're not willing to say anything, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. We're going to do just two games. We got about 3 minutes for a segment, Sean, and I know you got to go too, but the Dallas Cowboys tonight are playing the New Orleans Saints. I mean, and the Saints are 6-point favorites, and I understand that. And Rob Ryan is going up against, you know, the team that he coached for last year. The total's 53. I see that total being hit early in the third quarter. Don't you think that the Saints and the Cowboys, as good as sometimes their defenses have looked this year, are going to have a hard time with Romo and Breeze tonight?
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, sometimes you'll get a game like this and all of a sudden it'll be 14-10, but I don't see that happening. There'll be a lot of pressure from Rob Ryan's group and they'll hit some big plays. I think this is a game of big plays. They may get you a couple 3-and-outs because you throw 3 times in a row and don't get a completion.
Right.
But I also believe that there's too many points on the board. It's indoors.
Yeah.
New Orleans coming off a loss last week where they did not play like they wanted to. I believe who they lose to, I can't even remember. But they got beat last week.
Well, they lost to New England, and they got a bye last week. Going into their bye week,
There you go. So they lose to New England.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
And that's right. And they're in. The Cowboys should have lost last week. Came back in the final drive.
Unbelievable.
Took care of their business. Yeah. So I think this is a high scoring, you know, in your face type game. You're talking a game both teams somewhere up. It could be a 41-38, 38-31 shootout. I like the Saints in the game. But I'll take the over as well.
I'm going to talk to you about another game that I think is the best game of the day, and it's Carolina Panthers going to San Francisco and playing the 49ers. Two teams that are kind of, you know, like what we talked about earlier with Stanford and Alabama, they're kind of hit-you-in-the-mouth teams. The Panthers haven't really played anybody yet. This is going to be a big test for Cam Newton and them. Who do you think wins this game, and what do you think? You think the 49ers will cover 5.5? I do. I see them coming out and just attacking on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, as much as I like the way Carolina's really started to pick up their game, and it Cam has played pretty well. I really like the way he's. It seems to me that the pouting's not there.
He's
this
maturing.
Year,
he seems to be maturing.
He sure has. And I think he's learned a lot. I do think the 49ers are a touchdown better. I do. And here, I think what's going to happen is you'll see Cam make some really good plays, but the 49ers are just getting into a rhythm again. And I see a three type turnover game by their defense. And you know they'll run the ball and be physical. I think when all's said and done, when you go player for player, the physicality of the 49ers is just a little too much. Now, Cam's going to have to play like Superman to win the game because the 49ers are a better team, and I don't think there's any question. But Cam Newton will keep them in the game, but this is one of those, what you don't want is the 49ers, if you're in that situation and you're a better, is you say, well, if the 49ers jump out to a lead and all of a sudden Cam stays in the game late and they get 2 cheap touchdowns. But I like the 49ers. I just think physicality and the physical side beats finesse. And while the Carolina's got a little bit of power to them, I think the 49ers – or better football team, and I think they're at least a touchdown better today.
Sean, listen, I can't thank you. I'm on the phone with Sean Salisbury, the best NFL guy I know. Sean, tell everybody how they can order your clothing line, Every Damn Down, right now.
Yep, they can find me obviously on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered, but everydamndown.com, just as it sounds, everydamndown.com. And if they go on there, if you don't see a shirt you like, all you got to do is make a note and leave it there, and we'll get it. And for instance, if somebody's a Redskins fan, we'll get you that. If you say, "I want
heaven
the,
help them,"
you know, the red with the gold writing on a shirt, every damn, we'll get it for you. So it's there, and we're coming out with hoodies and hats as well. Just be patient as we get this thing rolling. But everydamndown.com.
Sean, thank you so much. Have a great day with your kids that are learning to be Division I quarterbacks, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay, Bruce, I appreciate you always, buddy. Have a good Sunday.
We'll see you. Sean Salisbury, everybody. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. We've got a special guest. I think he's on the phone. Is he on the phone? Roy, you there?
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, man. It's so nice to hear your voice. And I'm going to get to hear your voice all night next Saturday night at my 60th birthday party.
That's right. We're going to be pumping. It's going to be a huge party, man. We're going to be rocking out.
Roy is the guest DJ. We should invite Tony Mazur down. He sent out a tweet last night going, "I'm tired of this DJ crap." He's only 23. He's just a kid. He'll figure out that wherever you can get a couple of $100, it's a good idea. Hey, listen.
Soon he'll figure out that wedding's the way to go.
So now we're talking DJ to DJ. Don't do weddings, man. I can't stand weddings because that's just where the emotions run high.
Yeah, but there's good fights at weddings. Usually with girls. Hey, and they're usually fighting over that thing they throw over their shoulder, the garter belt or whatever, or flowers. I don't even know what they throw over their shoulder. All I know is that you got to be real careful who you invite to your wedding. Because
that's true.
All you got to do is invite a couple of old girlfriends or a couple of old boyfriends, and all kind of crap can break loose. Hey, did West Virginia win or lose last night? Because they were – oh, they lost in overtime, didn't they?
Yeah, they lost in overtime.
Were you following that pretty good? Did you do a show afterwards, or what'd you do?
Yeah, I was all over that. You know, we do the
they covered, right?
Yes, they did cover.
Yeah.
So that's a plus.
And who did they lose to? I mean, it was someone in the Big 12, right?
Yeah, they lost to Texas.
Well, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, so did you see Luck?
32-30 with, like, 8 minutes left in the game. And,
yeah.
Found out they lose.
Well, you know what's cool? You can, when you follow Twitter, and by the way, I watched that Alabama game. It was unbelievable. And then, of course, I was going to stay up and watch all of the NFL kind of, you know, really fun shows that I taped during the week. I fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Of course, didn't wake up till like 2 in the morning and went upstairs and got a little more sleep. But the thing that is that, you know, there was just great football on. And there was some, there are literally 8 to 10 teams that can kick butt in the NCAA right now. I mean, they're really
I feel
are.
Bad for Oregon, man.
I feel bad for Baylor. I mean, I feel bad for Baylor. I feel bad for, I don't really feel bad for Ohio State. But this is a bad year for Ohio State to go undefeated because they're not going to get in. And I'm going to tell you, this is why you need, when they have the playoff, they need 8 teams. Because 8 teams, there is no doubt. If you pit 1 seed up against 8 seed and 8 wins, that's great, great sports. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we're headed in that direction.
Well,
you know,
we need to be, but we need to.
Plus 2.
But, Roy, have you seen who they put on this stupid, you know, playoff?
Oh, Condoleezza Rice is one of the
people. I mean, like, she would even have an idea. Now don't get me wrong. I like Condi Rice, but keep the politics out of it. You know,
right. I mean, I'm sure she knows, you know, other things in life. I just wouldn't, when I think college football, I don't think Condoleezza Rice.
I'd rather have her negotiate with Putin than to give me any kind of information on who I should put my hard-earned money on. You know what I mean?
What I don't understand is the NCAA has boatloads of money. I know that they're a nonprofit organization and they function as such, but they can. Why not take 10 nerds, 10 college football super nerds, put them in a room, have them watch every game, and pay them, and then get the playoff system right instead of going out and getting up a bunch of people who, you know, are just
well,
name grabber.
That's a good idea, but do you want me to answer why? Because it would be the most boring hour of TV you've ever seen. But I would like to take 10 really good former football. I don't want football coaches. I want knowledgeable writers. You know what I mean? Or just somebody that's been around the sport for 30 to 50 years that can still talk. Okay.
Right.
That's not being led around by like an animal or anything. Huh?
Yeah. People who are just so engulfed in college football that they have like absolutely no other life.
Lee Corso would be perfect. How about the guy that's on, the good-looking guy? What's his name that's on with Lee Corso every week?
Oh, which one? I mean
the guy that went to, I don't even know what his name. He played football. He's Ohio State. Wasn't he an Ohio State quarterback or something?
There was a running back. Oh my God, I don't remember.
But I mean, Lee Corso, I would start with Lee Corso and work back. Lou Holtz would be a good pick. Mark May might be a good pick. I mean,
well, if Mark May and Lou Holtz are in, then Notre Dame and Pitt are in the playoff system every year.
Well, they're not allowed to vote for their own teams. See, we would make rules up, Roy, that worked. Do you understand?
I think the way that it works now is that certain people who are on the system have a certain area that they're to watch. Like, everything's assigned.
Hey, try not to eat your phone, Roy, when you're talking, will you, please? Are you hungry? Because I brought you food. I brought you food today, and then I realized you weren't going to be here.
So thanks for the food, Roy.
Yeah.
I like it when you're not here because I actually have more room at the table.
I don't like it when I'm out there.
Well, you need to get Roy, it's called A Cab or B a Ride. That's all you needed to get here. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy Edwards, sportsmancave.com. He's like the best disc jockey you could ever hire for any event except the wedding, according to Matt. He doesn't want Roy at any weddings. But Roy,
I'm not doubting his skill. I'm just saying.
Hey, how about my East Carolina Pirates, Roy? They put 58 up on Tulsa. Of course, Tulsa sucks. But
they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, they are. Oh, and by the way, Dana Holgerson can still kiss my ass. I can say that. If you ever meet Dana and talk to Dana, and I know you will, please tell him that I don't think much of him, will you? Say, my co-host, the guy that I do my show with on Sunday, hates your guts. Why does he hate my guts? Because he thinks you need medication and therapy, and he thinks you should have your own TV show or something.
I think I know what the answer would be. It'd be Bruce who?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. He's going to be Dana who soon. I'm Bruce Hall. Yeah. We're talking about a West Virginia coach. Now, does it look like Dana may stay? He probably will this year, right?
Well, the rumors that have been going on for, months probably, was that Oliver Luck was going to
Athletic
director at Texas. So, yeah, right. It turns out the Arizona State AD takes the job at Texas.
Right.
So now Oliver Luck stays at WVU, which Oliver Luck's guy is Dana Holgerson. They gave Dana Holgerson an extension.
So he's staying. He's staying.
I mean, Dana Holgerson got an extension before he even was the head coach of the team.
Right.
I mean, they love Dana Holgerson, which, he was the higher coach at the time. You know, he had the high-powered offense.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's coached up millions of thousand-yard receivers.
Hey, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're, like, full today. I want to get something really good out of you. Thinking about Dana Holgerson makes me want to lose my lunch, or what Sean Salisbury would say, throw up in my mouth. Let's go over top 10 NCAA. Alabama's number one. God, what a great game, right? Florida.
I'm tired of AJ McCarron. I'm tired of his girlfriend.
She's ugly. Florida State wins 59-3. Roy, I went 6-0. I'm like turning into Roy Edwards in the NCAA now. But I had Florida State yesterday, -35.5. You knew they had to win because they're playing Wake Forest in Wake, probably in front of 20,000 people, and they're all Florida State people that traveled.
How was their defense? Not too bad, huh? What, they have like some ridiculous amount of interceptions.
Yeah, it was. Well, Wake throws the ball a lot, unfortunately for Wake Forest, the D-backs for Florida State are much quicker than their wide receivers. You know, they have a kid from Stonebridge. It's a second string quarterback down there. His father's the coach at Stonebridge High School, right up here in Ashburn, Virginia. Oregon gets beat by Stanford. Yeah. Now that hurt me, because I had them in a little three-team mm-hmm. teaser, and I don't even hit the teaser with that the other night because Oregon's my only loser. But they lose to Stanford. Stanford's beaten them three times in a row. So Oregon, in my opinion, is going to drop to 6. Ohio State's going to move up to 3, or maybe just go down or stay at 4. Stanford should go right past Ohio State, and I think Baylor might jump Ohio State too. What do you think?
Ohio State has a very weak schedule.
Yeah, well, and they're not playing anybody the rest of the year either.
Well, the thing that it makes it a little more difficult than an Ohio State than, say, a Baylor. Baylor has the easiest route out of any of the teams that you just said that are still on the field
to
make it to the national championship game, really for one reason, that being that they don't play a conference championship game.
Right.
Whereas Florida State is going to have to see somebody to win the ACC.
Does Big Ten play a championship game? They don't.
Ohio State is going to have to see Michigan State, I believe, again, right?
Well, you know, if they're in first place in the other division, yeah. What a ridiculous, stupid game that's going to be. Hey, wouldn't that be great if Michigan State beat them, though?
Yeah, Michigan State is the best defense that Ohio State's going to see all year. I believe Ohio State already beat Michigan State, but they have to play
them. Hey, hate to cut you off, but you know, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230, WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Got Roy on the phone. Roy, stay there until I tell you what's wild is when 2 hours isn't enough time. That's ridiculous. Hey, by the way, the Miami Heat got beat at home by Boston last night. And I think in double overtime. And the Miami Heat are 4-3. What are they trying to make it exciting now in the NBA? Is that what the gig is? Or are they really laying down during their regular season games? They probably, you know what? I'll bet you they're choreographing their games. What do you want to bet?
They're still the best team in basketball, in my opinion. I'm not sold on this.
They shot 57% and lost.
Everyone is all aboard the Indiana Pacers train this year. They're the best team in basketball and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, the Miami Heat are just stacked. I mean, they're loaded. But you can kind of tell this team came in a little out of shape this season. LeBron even hinted at it in the first couple games, saying that he wasn't in game shape yet. Give him a couple weeks and he'll get back to the point. I think this is just a case of a team winning 2 back-to-back championships, getting a little big-headed, and kind of not putting in the work this offseason. So I'm not surprised to see them start slow. I believe the 76ers beat them this year, too. So when Boston and the 76ers beat you, those are two of the league's projected worst teams. So I'm not off to the best start, but I wouldn't panic just yet if I'm in Miami Heat.
Well, you know what? It's almost like everybody right now is 4-3, which is fine with me. I think I'm going to go see the Wizards play because they evidently got a guy, Borat, or whatever his name is. It's not Borat. It sounds like Borat. He's probably from the same country Borat was from. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the NBA, it's like it's the World League of American Basketball. I mean, it's, I just don't get into the NBA until you get close to the playoffs or a great team comes to town. And if a great team comes to town, I like to try to get the best seat I can as close to the court as I can, just so I can really get the feel of the game. You know, they moved my buddy Steve Buckhantz, who he and Phil Chenier was, an all-star number 2 guard with the Bullets back in the day. And Phil's like my age. He's probably in his late 50s. I'm about as late 50 as you can get. I'll be 60 this week. But the thing I love about Chenier and Buckhance is they're great. I mean, they've been together, what do you think, 20 years or something? I'm pretty sure they've been working together for 20 years. And they just, the Wizards and all of their stupidity and what's the word I'm looking for, Roy? Greed? Greed.
There's a lot of words that come to mind.
and they're all four-letter words, but they moved them upstairs. They moved them all the way to the top of the lower level. How the heck? Roy, do you have a press card for the Caps?
I was just saying we should move on to the Caps eventually.
The heck with it. I don't want to move to the Caps. we're talking Rangers and Islanders here and New Jersey
I'm
Devils.
Saying,
I mean,
NHL in general. Roy this week got press creds for
I'm now season credentialed by the Washington Capitals.
Well, now let me ask you this. How come we're not working on the New York arena? Because we really need to do that. Well, I think I might be able to help us out with that.
I fly to New York every Rangers or Islanders game.
I'm just talking about when we go up there. Now, we've got to go to New York soon because we got to have a party. We're going to have a party sometime before Christmas. Matter of fact, we might even incorporate it with a Christmas party. Hey, by the way,
Augie's Italian Grill.
Augie's Italian. It's Augie's Family Italian Restaurant, and they got the best food in the world. And you know what? I almost can't eat Augie's food anymore because I've lost so much weight. I go in there, you know I'm going to eat a whole loaf or two of bread. Their bread is so freaking good at that place. I love that place. I love their pasta. I love their dishes. I love going in there and not having to touch anything except the spigot in the men's room to wash my hands and get all of the great goo I got all over my face.
Oh, God.
For me. Oh, it's called sauce, man. It's sauce. It's all in the
sure
sauce.
It is.
Hey, listen, we got down to like number 7. Clemson, Missouri. You know what's scary? What if Auburn beat Alabama this year? I mean, you know, that Alabama-Auburn game, it doesn't matter what the records are. There have been seasons where Auburn has been 3-8 and beat Alabama.
I honestly would not be surprised if Auburn beat Alabama this year, because Auburn this year is more like Alabama than you know in the recent years. Alabama plays that run you over football this year, but since getting rid of what was it, Chizik who won the national title there with Cam Newton.
Yep.
They don't play that, spread you out and try to play, that.
No, they hit you in the mouth, and they've got great back. They always have really hard-hitting defense. Have hard-hitting defense.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. And with Missouri, they're going to win the East. And Missouri's no slouch either, man. I mean, Missouri is a very good football team that I don't think they'll knock off Alabama if Alabama makes it to the SEC championship game, but I think they'll give them a better game than people will.
Well, they'd have to beat them to knock them out of number one. And then, Florida State, they play Florida, I think, the last game of the year. And then they've got their ACC championship game, right?
Yep.
Who are they going to play? Who's winning on the other side? Clemson, I guess. So, I mean, it would be Florida State, Clemson, I think, in the ACC championship game.
Is that Virginia Tech on that side?
No, but they're not. They've lost two or three games, I think, even in the conference. Don't you remember? They
really
lost
sure
to Boston College, too.
Time.
They're terrible. Hey, let's go to the Roy, we're not going to go to the NFL till the big break, which is coming up, right?
Yep.
So we're going to go to the NFL then. Can we talk a little bit right now about hockey? Who is going to win the NHL in the East Division? In that whatever they call that division, they probably call it something hockey.
The Metro, I believe.
They've changed the name of it. Like
the new conferences.
Uh huh.
Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins, man, they're.
They're hot, aren't they?
It's the easy pick, they're loaded in talent. Sidney Crosby's back. As much as I can't stand the guy, he's an extremely good hockey player. The Washington Capitals, though. I was at the game. I was at the Verizon Center this past Thursday, so I didn't get to watch the Redskins blow it. I was too busy watching the Capitals win in a shootout. The Capitals are playing more like the 2009 team that won the President's Cup
right.
than they are the team under Dale Hunter, who wanted to focus in on defense and wasn't playing Alex Ovechkin as much, and he wasn't getting as much ice time. Adam Oates knows this team very well, and
right.
He's letting them do what they do. I mean, the first goal of Thursday night was a Backstrom to Ovechkin goal that looked eerily similar to a 2009 offense that just opened everything up.
Right.
Now the Caps have flaws. You know, their defense isn't as good as some of the other teams.
They're owned by Ted.
Yeah, they're owned by the Wizards, which gives them a minus. But they play Mike Green, who Thursday led the team in ice time and is just a horrific defenseman.
But Green,
he has a great shot.
Yeah,
he's a horrific defenseman.
He's got to be on the right team, doesn't he? I mean, because Mike doesn't play defense. He's just such a good offensive. And he gets hurt a lot. Because guys they'll take a run at him, because if they knock him out of the game, that's like a point a game for the Caps, right?
Yeah, I've never been a big Mike Green fan, but the guy, it's like playing four forwards when he's on the ice.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Who was that goalie that beat the living crap out of our goalie?
Oh, it was the Philadelphia Flyers.
What was that? They're getting beat 7-0, and they just decide their goalie decides he's going to kill somebody. I mean, they could have taken him to jail after that beating he gave. Was that which goaltender was that for Washington?
That was
Newmirth, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it was Braden Holtby.
Oh my God, Braden Holtby needs to take a self defense class.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
he's the one who
he ran off a streak. So
what's that?
he ran off a streak of wins after that, and was didn't allow a single goal in during the shootout the other night. So maybe getting his butt kicked.
I guess it made him tougher.
They probably put a picture on his locker.
They should have sent that goaltender from Philadelphia down to the Miami Dolphins locker room to toughen up Jonathan Martin or whatever the hell his name is. And by the way, we're not going to talk about that because everybody's talked about it, but we are going to talk about it right now, briefly.
Hey.
You know,
I'm on the other side. Listening to the major media talk about it, it pains me.
Well, you know what they're doing.
Letter network.
That lets me know how little the major media know about locker rooms.
Yeah, Roy and I are on the same page on this.
Matt said the perfect thing this morning. This is Matt, okay?
Hey.
Matt Soccer. Okay,
he said,
you know, Matt doesn't have a bad bone in his body, even though he'll swear he was a football player. I know his grandfather was in the NFL, but that doesn't mean anything for Matt. So anyway, Matt says to me, hey, that's why they call it locker room, you know, activities.
Locker room talk is
anything goes because you're among friends, you're among teammates, and you just let it go. You know
what pains me about this whole situation is it's not the actual act of tasing or whatever it is that got the media's attention. I mean, Incognito has a sign on his locker that says Incognito hates two things: taxes and rookies.
I like that. That's a great sign.
I mean, so everyone who is in the locker room knows that this is how Incognito is. He had an interview with the team that was published right before Halloween that said, who's the easiest team on easiest player on the team to scare? And it was Martin. So it wasn't like that he was hiding this secret that nobody knew about. It's like the only reason why this is gathering any type of media attention is because the guy dropped the N-bomb.
Yeah, you know, and that means virtually nothing in a locker room either.
Let me
say one thing, Roy, just to we'll cut this, and we'll talk about this for the remainder. This is a pretty hot thing. But look, you know I'm a coach, right?
Yeah.
I've been in locker rooms as a player, many different kinds of locker rooms as a player and a coach. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is a saying where I come from. Two words, very simple. Handle it. Handle it.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Dolphin coaching staff is horse crap, because I would have just said, handle it. You know, and it should never have gotten that far. Obviously, what happened was this kid, listen, you don't hear about the 100 other stories because nobody says anything. But this kid somehow probably called mom and dad. He's 23 years old. He went to Stanford. Mm-hmm. He graduated. His parents both went to Harvard, an African-American and a Caucasian, and they basically know how to handle it one way. Sue him. And that's what's getting ready to happen. They're getting ready to go to court over this. And you know what? That just says everything I need to know about the people right there. Well, you know what? There are people in this country that make a living in court. You know what? If you're an offensive lineman and you can't get along with your other offensive lineman, the problem is yours. I personally think kid's got an anxiety and depression problem, and mm-hmm. it kind of got triggered by this whole set of events, and he realized once he went public with it, he screwed up. Now, nobody will leave it alone. We're almost done, Roy, for this segment. Listen, we're almost done for this segment. You remember when the NFL, we used to talk about it, you and I, because we talked at great length. They can cover anything up. This commissioner, this weenie of a commissioner they have, Roger Goodell, that thinks he is God, is a piece of crap. He's not doing his job. They should fire him. Because this should have never got out of the locker room.
Exactly. That's what I fear the most about this situation. Is it's something that, in the grand scheme of things, in a locker room, is not a big deal. So if this takes and opens up the curtain, so to speak, of what actually happens in the locker room and how much...
We'll be back in a minute. We'll be back in a minute, Roy. Stay on the line, okay? Can you stay on the line? We'll be back. See ya.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Roy, you're on the line, aren't you?
Yep, sir.
All right. Well, we're going to start with the NFL. Is that cool?
Actually, no. We're going to go into fantasy football.
We're going to start our fantasy segment real quick. And Roy, by the way, you're going to crush me today. But Matt, listen, I come to
I'm not
work,
talking about you and me.
No, but I'm going to talk about you and me last week. This. Roy, by the way, you're the reason my team sucks, even though I'm 5-4. But listen to what Matt did. Matt is sitting in here last week going, you know, he didn't even have a couple
have
of
a
picks, and he beat me by like 30 or 40 points because everybody he had destroyed it last week. And he's like telling me how I'm going to win because he's not trying. Well, he didn't even try and he beat me, Roy.
That means nothing to me. I have a specific question.
Yeah, I want to hear
Roy, WTF. Yeah. Nick Foles. How did you pull that out last
week? Yeah, what is Nick Foles?
Who do you have on the inside in Philadelphia?
Roy, you left you left a lot of points on the table with Nick Foles. You didn't need all those points.
you doubt me, my fantasy football knowledge every week. This is not the first bunny I've pulled out of the hat. I believe I also have Andre Ellington.
Yeah, I know, and I see it. You know what I liked? Who was it that was telling you to just stick it? Was that... That was LeVar's partner, right?
Yeah, Chad.
Chad Dukes. Roy puts, you know how Roy is. Oh, I'm great. I'm phenomenal.
He talks and about Dukes his other league,
and
not this one.
And listen what Duke says. What did Duke say? It was pretty good. He said, there's two things that I hate. Only two things do I hate. Rape and murder worse than somebody bragging about their fantasy team.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good line for Dukes.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I have to admit,
I was a big fan of his there for a couple of minutes because I was laughing. I went, "Hey, why didn't I think about that?" Hey, listen, I don't talk about rape and murder anyway because it happens too much anyway. Hey, let's do this. Who are you starting today on your fantasy team, Roy? Who? In our league, not in all of your leagues, just in your league.
Oh, man, in our league.
Jesus, you don't even know. Well, Matt, who are you starting?
Garcon,
I had Pierre Garçon on.
You had him last week. And by the way, oh, you already started Pierre. He's got 20 points, and he got them all in the first half. And by the way, let me just tell you how screwed up the Washington Redskins offense is. Kyle Shanahan can kiss my behind because I go to bed and they scored on five straight possessions. They didn't punt in the first half, right? The Washington Redskins. They don't punt. Yep. It's 27-14 early in the third quarter. And guess who falls asleep because he gets up at 4 a.m. that morning to drive to North Carolina for a series of meetings? Yours truly, Bruce Hall. So I'm asleep. I wake up and go to bed. I get up next morning and I see they've lost. How the hell did they lose, Roy?
Yeah.
Did you see the game?
Maybe because Redskins don't have a defense.
Well, they don't have a defense, but when you're scoring 27 in the first half, you shouldn't need a defense.
I was at the Caps game.
Am I the only one here that watched that whole game?
Oh, my God. You mean Matt saw the second
I'm
half?
I'm the expert on this game.
In the press room, they had the game on. So
yeah. Roy, where are you? In a tunnel or something? Come on, man. There you go. Much better.
The first play that I saw, you know, I came down. I came out of the press conference, the press conference, and I set my laptop up, get ready to, you know, write my piece, and I look up, and the people are just screaming. I'm like, "What are you guys yelling about? Like, what just happened?" And it was when the Redskins ran that fake punt, and like nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah, nobody knew it was a fake punt except the punter.
Yeah.
They called it. Yeah, I read about that. Well, anyway, I wasn't serious because the Redskins suck. Hey, Roy, who's DC Chickie in our pool? He's 0-9, and he never. Can we please just erase it, whoever it is? Because they don't ever pick anybody.
Actually won our league 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, he's not going to win this year because he never has any players playing. And Judge Judy, Judge Judy should be thrown out just because it's a dude named Jugs Judy.
I'm pretty sure these are women.
And you know what? Lick a Chick is some dude named Lefty Ruiz, whoever that is.
Lehigh.
Christopher, by the way.
You have your glasses
I'm beating
on.
Your,
How are you I'm, not reading this?
I'm beating your brother. I'm in eighth place, and that's not bad considering, you know, the computer picked my team because I didn't have enough time to pick my own.
Because
Roy let me know a half hour before. Turtles FC. Hey, Turtles FC is Matt. The computer picked his damn team, and he's in first place. Thanks, Roy. You could have given me that computer pick. But no, you gave me the eighth place computer pick. I've redone my whole team, though, by the way.
Who's your quarterback, Matt?
Manning, Peyton.
Who's got Andrew Luck? Don't you, Matt?
No. I think someone has him as a backup or something.
Well, Matt's tied for first, but he's really in first. Matt, I'm happy for you. If I don't win, I want Matt to win. Roy, how bad are you going to beat me today? Do you know?
I'm in third place, I think. Oh, my team's stacked.
Will you get the phone out of your throat? Wait, are you talking to me or what?
Do you have it on speakerphone, Roy?
No, I'm not. You better not be on speaker.
You need a new phone.
Maybe you should put it on speaker.
Roy, have you got a flip phone? Are you using one of those flip phones?
No, you have a Nokia.
IPhone 5, well, right man. Now, Roy, you start ahead of me 20.93 to 0.00.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you what I got. I got to get rid of Hartline. He sucks. Calvin Johnson sets a record last week. Doesn't do me any good. I got Russell Wilson. You know what? I'm going to make you a side bet right now. You want it? You take Foles. I got Russell Wilson. I bet I win.
Hold on, who has the most points?
Yeah, most points. Come on, Roy, give me a shot at something here.
Seattle plays Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And then Green Bay, Philly.
Do you not know playing everybody?
I'll take that.
Let's go to the NFL right now because I gotta bring Roy up to speed. And we'll talk about this next segment. Hold on one second.
I got those right.
Philly, Green Bay.
Seattle.
Yeah, and the Philly Green Bay is a joke because what's going to happen is Green Bay is still Green Bay, pretty much everybody, and they've also gotten their backup quarterback a whole week of snaps. That's the play. That is my You know what?
Oh.
That's and we're going to talk about that. Yeah, well, thank you very much, Randy. Hey, we're going to have Moss on next week. I heard you talk to him. Is that true? No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I'm not even caffeinated. I actually got some sleep last night.
We talk fantasy football, and it wakes you up, man.
I love fantasy football. We should have – you know what? You know what I listened to? I listened to Satellite Fantasy Football coming home last night. It was great stuff. Those guys are so much better than anybody on NFL Network, although I like them, and ESPN for sure. Those guys know more about football than any of the analysts on ESPN, any of them. The guys that do, the guys
fantasy
that do fantasy, and they're young guys, and they're literate, and they have IQs well over 100. And I like listening to those guys, and I'm picking up a lot of followers because of fantasy football all of a sudden.
Football, that's where you'll find.
Hey, by the way, Roy, how can people get you on Twitter? This is very important.
Yeah, at SportsManCave.
Okay, and how can people get me on Twitter?
It'd be at Bruce Hall Sports, I believe.
At Bruce Hall Sports, I believe. You can leave the I believe out. It's kind of like old McDonald E-I-E-I-O. Dag-nabbit! All right, here we go. Let's talk football, and I'm gonna go right now to the first game that we're going
to
talk about.
I need to hit it
and
again.
The first game we're going to talk about is not the Minnesota-Washington game that we lost. I lose Washington, by the way, in that game, -2. I hit the over easily. Seattle's at Atlanta. I love this game. Do you know Seattle's only a 3-point favorite right now?
Yeah, I saw them at 4 earlier.
And it's down to 3. Guess what? They're still a lot better football team than Atlanta. I love the over here. Yeah. I got the over for 5 stars. I left the straight play alone. But I feel good about Russell Wilson literally being involved in all kinds of stuff. You want me to do this now? For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we let him off the hook. I'm back.
I'm trying to be nice to Bruce.
My team is so stacked. He's in first place. He wants to give me like lousy receivers. I got plenty of them.
They're first place players on any other team.
They might be in first place, but they suck.
They're just not up to my standard.
Roy, they're in first place, but like high school players that don't play, they're not getting a letter. Okay. Hey, listen. Let's start. I'm going to odds and scores, which is my favorite place to go. Scoresandodds.com. Jacksonville, Tennessee. Roy, 12.5, 42 is the over-under. Tennessee, a lot of people are all over Jacksonville. I don't see it. I'm taking the Titans, -12.5, because the Titans need
to
win.
Who is over Jacksonville?
Well, no, but you got to understand one thing.
12.5 is a lot of points.
Yeah, but I'm taking them anyway because they're at home. And I see them literally getting well here. Jacksonville is going to – they're going to give the ball to MJD 20, 25 times. They're going to hit their tight end, Mercedes Lewis, a little bit. They're going to play okay defense, and the final is going to be 30-13. I have Tennessee winning this game. I actually have this game. I've only got 3 games today that I'm playing straight up against the spread. One of them's Tennessee. I'm going to take that. What do you think, Roy?
I would be on Jacksonville if Justin Blackmon didn't break every rule in the book.
Yeah, well, Justin Blackmon is probably not even in the United States right now. So he's on vacation. He's getting some hash overseas somewhere.
If he was playing, I probably would take the 12.5. But without him, then already bad Jacksonville offense.
No, I totally agree, and that's why I'm on Tennessee. And Tennessee needs the win. I mean, they're 4-4. They got to win the game. Next game. This is a great game, in my opinion. The Green Bay Packers lose Aaron Rodgers this past week. Oh yeah, and by the way, I got the Packers and the over in the first series. He's got the ball deep in opponent territory and gets laid on by a big, fat dude that hurts his shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. And you could tell when he landed on him, he was hurt. And, and I mean, there's nothing that's going to ruin your night worse than the best quarterback in the league going out on a game that I don't even think Chicago Bears thought they had a chance to win until he went out. Then all of a sudden when he goes out, they look like they went, hey, man, this is all right.
More often.
Hey, 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 we might actually win this game. I like Green Bay today. And the reason I like him is because their backup, who was a former backup everywhere, including Seattle.
Yeah, Seneca Wallace, I believe.
I like Seneca Wallace. He's a pro's pro. He moves well enough in the pocket to not get sacked very often. He knows when to throw the ball away. And by the way, he's taken the snaps all week, and he's been with Aaron Rodgers all week, literally coaching him up. And the Eagles, coming off of a 7-touchdown performance, Foles, and this is a guy that name is Foles because every once in a while he folds up and doesn't play that well. The Packers, you know who they get back today? They get their big pass rusher back.
He's
got a small cast on his hand, but Clay Matthews is back. They're going to put some pressure on Foles. I see the Packers winning this game, and they're getting – now, here it says -1, so the line has gone 2 points in literally 4 hours, because when I got up to leave to come here, literally at 8 a.m., when I left the house, they were +1. And guess who took them at +1? I did. But, you know, even at -1, I'm taking the Packers because they're going to win. It's a pick'em game. I'm not touching the over-under, although it would be a good over-under, because if you think Nick Foles, who, by the way, are you starting him today, Roy?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He's a punk. You're going to lose anyway then. Oh, yeah, you're playing him against me. I love it. There's no way he even has a touchdown pass, maybe one today. But I'm going to take the Packers here. Who do you like, Roy?
Never mind.
That's too long. All right. So you don't even have a. Well, you don't really. It could be a nickel on one, 5 cents on the other with you on this game.
I mean, you could flip a coin with this game. Seneca Wallace. I mean, I'm not completely sold on the guy. I mean, yeah, he's been around the league, you know, and he's not going to have the nerves. But the receivers of Green Bay are already beat up.
Yeah, but you know what? If he throws a couple of decent passes last week in the end zone, they win the game. Because he threw a pass, literally it was 10 feet behind his receiver who broke to the corner and he was wide open. He was throwing him like he was doing a back shoulder, and the guy didn't back shoulder him. He just kept running. And after a week of practice, I think it'll be better. I'm going to take Green Bay anyway. I love the Packers here. And by the way, Roy, you know what they have to do? They have to win just to keep, you know, keep with Detroit and Chicago, who are playing each other. Now, one of those teams is literally going to be behind the other two probably in this game. Next game. Hey, have you told Matt who your homie is?
We already passed my homie. It was Seattle.
Oh, you took Seattle. You know, hey, thank you very much.
Retroactively.
You know, so here's the deal. You and I have a bet. Well, let's make a bet for dinner somewhere. It can even be Five Guys. I don't care. And here's the deal, Roy. Here's the deal.
Right.
You straight cash homied my Seattle team with Russell Wilson as my fantasy league quarterback. Yeah, you think Nick Foles is going to beat me today. So that's good.
Yeah.
And by the way, I like Seattle too, because I think that Seattle could just whack them today. I think you know, Atlanta's terrible. They don't rush the passer. They can't run the football. And Roddy White's supposed to start, but he's questionable. Julio Jones is already gone. The guy you told me, by the way, last – can I say this, Roy? You told me to take – what was the guy's name, the guy that's number three?
Harry Douglas.
Yeah, Harry Douglas. I said take somebody. I was
you
on –
said Terrence Williams.
Somebody called in. It was a friend of my son's. And I said, yeah, take Terrence Williams. I don't think either of them did much. But
Harry Douglas
was three catches for 28 yards or something stupid like that.
I think Harry Douglas had like 8 or 9 points, and Terrence Williams had like 4.
All right. But anyway, that was fun. Let's go to the next one. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Roy, I love this game, and I'll tell you why I love it. They get back E.J. Manuel, who's going to be a little rusty, but not terribly rusty. But you know what's going to happen in this game? Pittsburgh can't stop anybody. You know that. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think that, Ben's going to have to throw the ball, and E.J.'s going to throw and run, and they can run the ball anyway, Buffalo. And by the way, their defense is pretty damn good. I have them rated as an OK-plus team. That's normally a team that's like 6-3, but their record is 3-6. Why? Because they have had close games and played some very – they played a tough schedule. I'm taking the over. You know how much it is? 43. That's nothing in an NFL game. I'm taking the over. The weather's fine. They're in Pittsburgh. I see this game. This could be an overtime win for Pittsburgh or Buffalo. 30-28. 30-27, something like that. What do you think, Roy?
I can dig the over. I can dig the over.
I love the over.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would play the spread, but I like the over there. Pittsburgh is terrible, and Buffalo really. I mean,
they're better than their record.
So up and down. They're better than their record, but they're so up and down.
Well,
and
what killed them last week? Well,
is CJ Spiller going to play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's starting.
Yeah, he is starting. And you know, even and Fred Jackson's still, he's okay. Yeah. But listen, last week, even with Jeff Toole at quarterback, they could have easily beat Kansas City, but they turned the Kansas City defense. They make two stupid plays, and Kansas City scores two touchdowns and wins the game. That was with Jeff Toole in there. He's horrible. In my opinion,
we were all over that letdown on Kansas City too, man.
Yeah, we were, and they still won.
I know. I really thought that was the week, man. As soon as I saw the first half of that game, and I was like, all right, here it is.
All right, I'm taking the over 43 Buffalo Pittsburgh next game. This is the New York Football Giants. Do we have time to talk about this?
Little loser here.
Yeah, they're not doing real well, but they've won two in a row, Matthew. They've won two in a row. They haven't beaten anybody, but they've won two in a row. They are playing Oakland, who gave up seven touchdowns last weekend in the air to Roy Edwards' starting quarterback today on one of his fantasy teams. What's his name? Foles. The guy that folds up all the time. I don't like the Giants here. I kind of like Oakland, but I can't play a team that literally just ate it so bad last weekend at home. They lost by 30-some points. I mean, Philly was, you know how long Philadelphia had the ball last week? Like 23 minutes. It only took them 23 minutes to score seven touchdowns. What the heck were they thinking? It's like their defensive backfield had never seen passing. A lot of people like the Giants. A lot of people like the Giants today because they figure, you know, Eli's going to put something on them, kind of like Foles did last week. I'm leaving it alone. What do you think?
I'd leave it alone. Yeah, I don't trust. I was pretty high on the Raiders for a couple weeks there, thinking that they were starting to turn things around with Breyer.
And then all of a sudden, the defense went away.
Yeah, after last week, you can't trust a team like that. So
kind of hard.
And
isn't
I already don't. I already don't trust the Giants, so I wouldn't play either side.
You know. All right, let's go to the next game. One thing I do want to say about the New York Giants, their defense is starting to play some football, and if the offense could ever kind of catch up to the defense. Hey, they are in the NFL least division, L-E-A-S-T. We just add an L to that. And I was the first one to do that this year. Now everybody's doing it. The next game.
Did you create that hashtag?
I don't even know what a hashtag is. Who was it that was on TV last week that asked, what's a hashtag? It was Mariucci or somebody like that. St. Louis Rams are at the Indianapolis Colts. My favorite football player in the NFL, Oliver Luck, Jesus. Andrew Luck, up against the St. Louis Rams, one of my former favorite coaches. Big Jeff is losing a lot this year. They look great one game where they upset somebody a couple weeks
ago. Almost upset Seattle.
Yeah, oh, that's right. When it looked like they were going to beat Seattle, and then, you know, they've got their backup quarterback in there. They lose Sam Bradford. They're realizing they really do need quite what. But, you know, they still don't have a real running game. Now, they got a great running back now. What's his name? Have you picked him up too, Roy?
Zach Stacy.
Yeah, he's good. And he's rushed for over 100 yards 2 weeks in a row. Everybody's starting him on their fantasy league now, on their fantasy teams. You know what? Indy was 9 this morning. You know what they are right now? 7.5. You know what that means? The public is taking the St. Louis Rams. Does that make sense to you? I don't see that. They're closing the roof in Indianapolis. And you know what that means? It's going to be loud. Yeah. It's like they're Seattleizing the place. Hey, we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yeah, St. Louis, Indianapolis. They're closing the roof in Indy to make it real loud. It's a win they need. You know, Indy's been in almost every game they've had this year, and they just figure out a way to win. And I like the Colts. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs for a long time. Jimmy Irsay or no Jimmy Irsay. And everybody that listens to the show knows I like Jimmy. He's a different kind of dude. And he said some stupid things, but don't we all from time to time?
I have to love him because he quotes Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah, well, he's a freak, no question about it. He doesn't get a lot of sleep, I can tell you that. Let's go to the next game, Matt. Hit me, Matt. Seattle Seahawks at the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, and Randy Moss. Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
Straight cash.
That's the one.
You know, this is Roy's straight cash, homie play. He's got Seattle. It's gone from 3 to 4 today. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not true. It's still 3.5. Still 3.5. The over-under, by the way, is 45.5. And guess who's on that? Like white on rice.
Yeah, there you go.
Me, Bruce Hall. I love the over in this game because Atlanta's defense is horrible. They can't rush the passer. And, you know, the guys that stay close to Seattle put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. And even though they beat him up pretty good, he keeps bouncing up. He's like a Mexican jumping bean. He just keeps getting up and beating you. There's a reason that the Seahawks have only lost one game, even though several of their wins, Roy, you'll admit, were at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
I like Seattle too. I'm not playing them, but I'm playing the over. I love over 45.5 because if Matt Ryan, who I'm sure my son is playing him on his fantasy team today, is going to stay close at all, they're going to have to throw what, 3-4 touchdown passes, you think, Roy?
He's going to have a good game, that's for sure.
What's that?
He's definitely going to have a good game if they want to even be close. I mean, Steven Jackson's back and
he's terrible. Yeah, but that'll be interesting. That'll be.
But they're not a. Yeah, I mean, they're not a run the football type of team, even when he is healthy. So, yeah, I mean, if Atlanta's going to stand a chance today, it's going to be on the shoulders of Matt Ryan
and Tony Gonzalez. And they're going to have your boy Hugh Douglas, right? And Roddy White is starting, by the way. He's active. So he was questionable, and we just saw on Twitter recently that he's active now. I like your pick. I like Seattle minus the 3.5, and I do love the over, and that's kind of me out there by myself because I don't know anybody else that likes that over. Let's go to the next game. The Bengals at the Ravens, Cincinnati at Baltimore. I could drive a half an hour from here, park for $10, probably $20, three or four blocks from the stadium. When I leave here, just go north instead of south, and I could see this game. I almost love to watch this game. Only I'd rather see the Detroit-Chicago game. And in order to do that, my butt has to either be in a suite, which I don't have a suite ticket over in Baltimore, nor are they ever for sale outside the stadium where I'd be looking. But I like this game from a standpoint of it's going to be a defensive, physical game. You know, the Ravens, Roy, have struggled all year. You were all over this at the start of the year. You don't like them. You don't think they're going to have a good year. I couldn't agree more. But the one thing they will, do, is they'll get better every week because they're a well-coached team.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't like the Ravens at all. I made that no secret at the beginning of the season, and still, you know, don't like them at all. I think Cincinnati's a much better football team, but I agree that their defense is going to improve going forward. You know, they're not going to stay this, you know, terrible defense that we've seen thus far. So, I like the Bengals today, obviously. I don't think the Ravens are very good. I think they're overhyped. I don't think they have any weapons.
Well, it's like Cincinnati weather here. It's, you know, it's 50 degrees and the wind's blowing hard. It's blowing 12 to 22 miles an hour. I'm going to leave the game alone because normally this would be a perfect spot for the Ravens because as a home dog or, you know, even, they're usually a lot better at home than they have been on the road. I'm going to leave the game alone. Let's go to the next game, Matt. Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. The winner of this game is going to be at least tied for the lead in the NFC North Division. I like both of these teams as far as watching them. The Bears, however, their defense is not very good. The Detroit Lions have a little bit better front seven probably, but their defensive backfield isn't that good. The Lions have, I would say, more... They have more weapons on their offensive side of the ball. Matt Forte is their big guy. I mean, the Bears are going to run Matt Forte. They're going to throw to him out of the backfield. You know, they've got Alshon Jeffrey. They got their big receiver. What's his name, Roy? He's on your team.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall.
He's a stud. This is going to be a high-scoring game, and the total here is 52.5. That's not a lot of points in today's NFL, and the Bears are -1. I'm leaving that number alone because you can flip a coin. Either team could win this game. They both need the win badly. Detroit plays pretty good on the road. I'm taking the over for 5 stars. I think that's the play of the day. It's a straight cash homie, by the way.
Straight cash homie.
Yeah, straight cash homie. Yeah, Randy, listen, man, when are you going to sign with somebody? There are a lot of teams that need some wide receivers. What do you got to say about that?
Straight cash, homie.
You know, he says that. He uses that to answer everything. What do you like? Do you like either of these teams today, Roy?
I think Detroit wins the game.
Do you really?
Jay Cutler's back, so that helps Chicago out a lot.
Yeah, but he's got to be 70-80%.
I
wouldn't even start it.
I really like. I mean, Megatron is Megatron, and with the addition of Reggie Bush, I mean that actually makes this team have somewhat of a running game. I actually like Detroit. So but you know me, I like the Bears too. So
you always like the Bears. That's why I was surprised you took Detroit.
Yeah, no, I think Detroit's the better football team this season.
Well, I've got the Bears rated as an OK-plus team. They've got, you know, they got better passing than they give up. They do give up an incredible, an 88.5 rating against. They also rush for 4.8 yards per carry. I mean, they do a really good job with that. Neither team has really played anybody to speak of. The Green Bay win that the Bears got this past week was only because Aaron Rodgers got hurt in the first quarter. So literally, no matter what these two teams do, if they both make the playoffs, more power to them. But whoever does make the playoffs, if one out of the two make it, let's just say if Green Bay wins the division, if Rodgers comes back, they're not going anywhere because they just don't have enough. They got the tools on offense, but defensively they can't stop anybody. Let's go to the next game. Oh, I like this game. This is my favorite game of the day. Two teams, both rated good, according to Bruce All Sports. That's me. Carolina Panthers and the San Francisco 49ers. Carolina hasn't beaten anybody, but they've won four in a row, and they're playing some defense. But like I said, they haven't played a 49er team. The 49ers are only 5.5-point favorites, Roy. That's what we call in the business value. That is a great play, in my opinion, today. I see San Francisco, but because think about who he's throwing to. LaFell, right? Steve Smith, right? Who's his tight end? He's on everybody's fantasy team. Big guy used to be a Bear. Anyway,
yeah, there's a Shockey, and then there's
Shockey is
if he's even still there.
He's not playing. It's the big guy. Big long guy. Got great hands. Can you tell I'm going to be 60 this week? But anyway, Carolina's at San Francisco. I see now San Francisco. Pretty sure is coming off of a bye week. They're going to be ready to roll.
Is it Greg Olsen?
Yeah, Greg Olsen. He's a stud. And he used to be a Carolina – well, he's a Carolina Panther. Started with the Panthers, went to the Bears, and I think he came back. He used to be a tight end, I think, when – what's his name was there? The quarterback, Jake DeLone. I mean, he's got to be 33 years old, Olsen. He went to the University of Miami, too. He's a good kid. I still like the Niners. Have you ever noticed the Niners, when they're at home, look like they play to cover? Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
They run it up. They will literally run. If they've got the ball with less than 5 minutes left and they can get into your territory, they're going to try to score. They're not going to kick a field goal. They're going to try to score. You know what I mean? And I love this game because I just don't. Now, listen, if Carolina and Sean Salisbury said this in the earlier segment, Sean was on earlier today, he said that this is the test for Carolina. If Carolina is literally going to do anything in the NFC South Division and pretty much throw New Orleans kind of under the bus, they're going to have to win this game. They got to prove they can beat somebody, and they're going to have to beat New Orleans again. Do you know what I mean? And I don't see Carolina doing that to San Francisco. What do you think about the game? How do you see it unraveling, Roy?
I love San Francisco. I mean, they're my pick to win the whole thing. I picked them preseason to win the whole thing. I think they're a great football team. I don't think Carolina is very good. They haven't played anybody. I'm not sold on Cam Newton. You know, I mean, he's played better this year, you know, and he's done countless interviews where he says that he looked at game film and interviews of himself where he realized that he was a jerk. So that's all well and good, but I still
at least
think
he called himself a jerk. That's good therapy.
He did, yeah. I guess his dad and his brother sat him down and had him watch.
Well, his dad doesn't need to talk to him at all. His dad's an idiot.
Game interviews.
His dad's an idiot.
Had himself look at himself from like fans' perspective and wonder, realize why everybody hates him. I guess.
Yeah, but listen. So you're going. You're going to go San Francisco. So am I. And I've got it. By the way, it's my only 5-star play today. My other 5-star play was the Green Bay Packers, but Aaron Rodgers went down early in the game. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we had to let Roy go because we're waiting for a call from Tony, but Bruce wants to go through some more games here.
Yeah, the Tony Mazur is going to call in from Cleveland. Shortly, only a couple more games to talk about. A couple of them are going to be good games to watch. You know, I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better than what happens on the weekend, especially on a Sunday after your show's over at noon. You have a little 45-minute drive home, and you go into the refrigerator when you get home, and you pull all the salami and all the roast beef and
Make
throw
me
some
hungry now.
Matt, you don't eat enough anyway. But I'm going to go over these last few games now, and then when Tony comes, we're going to talk a little bit about. Well, first of all, we got to get his pick of the week because Tony's now 3-2 as opposed to 2-3. He hit last time.
Let's get him on.
Well, it sounds good. It'd be nice. What would really be nice if is Tony. Is that you, buddy?
This is me.
I love it when you call. Listen, I read your tweet last night. You know about the DJing thing. I felt for you, brother, and then I think I went to sleep like 10 minutes later.
I don't blame you.
Hey, listen, we're down to. I just went over the Carolina 49er game. Do you mind going over these last two or three games with me, and then you can give us your play of the week?
Oh, absolutely.
Houston, Arizona is where we are. I love nothing about this game. the weather's beautiful. I'd love to be there. It's 78 degrees. It's the wind's 6 to 11 miles an hour. I would love to be in Arizona right now just playing 18 holes of golf at Troon North, possibly, and then going to see the ball game. It looks like it's a later. Yeah, it's going to be a little late. It's a 4 o'clock game. Houston, I like their new quarterback. I really like this kid from the University of Houston. He does a great job. He's 0-2, unfortunately. He goes against a Cardinal team that all of a sudden, Tony, they're number one in the league in defense.
I don't know how.
Well, it's because they're defensive backfield, because nobody wants to screw around with Honey Badger and Patrick Peterson, all those guys. And what they're doing is they're forced to run, and they throw 6, 7, 8 in a box, and they're doing a good job. I mean, it's hard to believe for me too, but you know what? They should launch an investigation into that Carson Palmer just abortion that was allowed to take place. You know, when he came for the two number one draft choices or something, and then the former coach of the Raiders ends up in Cincinnati with Marvin Lewis and has a job, and he. He brought him a bunch of draft choices right before that.
Just brought him in a suitcase.
I don't like that game at all. I mean, if I had to go any direction, the over-under is only 42. I'd go over, you know, because, you know, the kid from Houston likes to air it out, and God knows Carson Palmer can't do anything but throw a little bit. It's probably going to go over, even though I don't have it a play. What do you see in this game?
Well, this is what we like to call the fat porn game, which means that you'd rather see Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold in an adult film than watch this game.
You've introduced a new term to me.
This is kind of like Coyote Ugly, right?
Minus the Coyote.
Oh, it's ugly, all right. It's Carson Palmer. You know what's interesting is, and I think it was someone from Yahoo, I believe it might have been Dan Wetzel recently, said that the NFL is having a quarterback problem, meaning that you have your elite quarterbacks, you have your good quarterbacks, and then you have teams that have to call Brett Favre back or call Jeff George back. And this is another one of those, but you wonder why Carson Palmer has a job? Because there really isn't that many quarterback jobs, and the fact that he's proven himself 6, 7 years ago, not recently,
right.
But because he had previous success, that's why he has a job. So, Case Keenum, I honestly think that...
I like that kid. Don't you like that kid?
I do like him. I mean, he's Houston-born and bred, and he's... He really... If it wasn't for, you know, the unfortunate situation with Kubiak, and it kind of deflated the team...
But we haven't even talked about that.
Rally around that.
Right. No, I like Houston a little bit here too, but I'd have to leave it alone because, well, you know what though, 3.5 taking Houston plus 3.5, I could see that. I don't even see how you could take Arizona minus 3.5 against anybody. You know, they're just not that good. You know, Arian Foster's out for the season. He's having back surgery. I don't know if you heard that earlier this morning. It came out earlier this morning, but he's out for the year. So they're going to be starting, the other kid who's really good.
Ben Tate.
Yeah, Tate's a stud. I mean, you know, he's probably better than Arian Foster. Definitely better than him with a bad back. But I'm going to leave this game alone. But it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you were a friend of mine and you took Houston plus the points.
And Tony, you shouldn't be saying Brett Favre's name too loud.
Yeah, somebody's going to call him. Dan Snyder will call him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, especially with Aaron Rodgers going down, he might be like, "Oh, so guys,
they were already talking about that all over the airways Monday and Tuesday." Let's go to the next game. Thank you for that. Denver's at San Diego. This is going to be a fun fun game to watch. You know, the only thing I can remember was one of the worst games I saw all year was when Indy went out there before they played San Francisco and beat them. They went out to San Diego and they lost by 10. I don't see that happening against the Denver Broncos, first of all, because there's a lot of history with the Denver Broncos in San Diego. They won a Super Bowl there. It's not that long of a flight. And the weather looks like it's going to be beautiful. It's 69 degrees. The wind's 5 to 10 miles an hour. I love the total here, Tony. I don't give a damn if it's 67. I'm going over. It's 57 points. That's not a lot. That's not a lot in this game.
I agree, but you know, one of our favorite coaches, North Turner. I got to say, Philip Rivers looks so much better when he doesn't have the shackles of North Turner around him.
Absolutely, get to watch his action every week now. Well, almost every week. Not this week; they're off, thank God.
But
you know what they're doing? They're doing all right despite Norv, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact. What did I tell you about Jason Campbell? Jason Campbell probably would make a better offensive coordinator than Norv. Norv only has a job because of a trade that shouldn't have been allowed with the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys many years ago. And they made him look like Jesus. And he ain't Jesus. You've seen his work. Everything is Don Coryell-ish. Without the athletes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the game's passed Norv by, and it really Jason Campbell's the perfect quarterback for Norv right now, and
he's in between. He's seen Norv. He knows he knows the bad stuff Norv brings, and he's kind of the anti-Norv, isn't he?
Yeah, and Philip Rivers is a guy that he needs to air it out. He needs to do what he can. The fact that North Turner still had a job because of LaDainian Tomlinson. Let's just throw that out there right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And that Chargers team was, they were 14-2 when they fired Marty Schottenheimer, brought Norv in, then they had a bunch of mediocre seasons as Tomlinson was getting run down into the dirt. So Philip Rivers is still a good quarterback. He's having a better bounce back season than I've seen him having a while, and really it's because Norv is not there and he can actually breathe and do something this year.
Right. I don't think we're ever going to see Champ Bailey this year. He's out again this week. He did play one game and then he was out the next game. He might have a career ending foot injury is what they're saying. I don't like Denver here because it's too many points, but I love the over here because in my opinion, this is Philip Rivers' opportunity to hang with Peyton. You know what I mean? And I love both of the guys. Philip Rivers, even though he went to NC State and he's kind of a redneck, and I love rednecks, but I call NC State guys rednecks because that's MU. That's Cal College. That's MU. I'm an East Carolina guy. We hate NC State, okay? But we like them more than the University of North Carolina. I'm going to take the over here for 5 stars. I just love it. I got to do it. Let's go to the next game. Dallas Cowboys at New Orleans Saints. Now, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. But, Tony, before we talk about the Saints and the Cowboys, let's talk about Tony Mazur's play of the game. And we got to put a jingle together eventually for Tony. Let's just say what we think about Tony's picks each week. It's Sheldon's. What's Sheldon's?
Bazinga.
You're my Bazinga guy.
We also have this new one, too.
Yeah, we got that one too. I like that one.
See, we can do them together.
Except we do that when we've got a scoop. Hey, and Matt made it perfectly clear that we can't do that too often because, you know, we go out in New York and somebody will get a hold of that. Who's your pick of the week? This is important because you're gonna win today. Whatever it is going on Bruce All Sports, and it's going in the National Handicappers Bowl. Even though I've already made all of my plays. Go ahead.
Are you feeling it? I know you talked about it as I called in. I'm going Carolina today. I think Carolina.
Oh man, you're going oppo of me. You know what? That's enough to knock me off of the Niners. The only reason I don't like Carolina is two reasons. Number one, the coaches. That there's a big difference in coaching. And number two, they just haven't played anybody yet. You know what I mean? San Francisco has lost twice, and they got their butts kicked. You know, they've lost. You know what I mean? But I you know what? I could see them winning the game, but it's going to come down to like right at the end of the game, whatever happens.
I'm going with Carolina. I'm not sure if they'll win, but I didn't like what is it? What was it?
Five. It's 5.5 right now.
Five. Yeah, I didn't like that. I'm going Carolina, whether they win or lose. I think that I just think that that's too many points right there.
I totally understand that pick. You're not the only one that really likes that pick. I've talked to two or three beat writers that like Carolina today too. Let's take a minute. We got about a minute and a half left. Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be a good ball game. I love this game. And the thing I like about this game is what I always love about this game. 53 points. You got to be kidding me. It's indoors. It's Tony Romo and Drew Brees. They'll score 53 points in the first half. Or do you think I'm crazy, Tony?
No, I think that's. I mean, you're going to see a lot of offense today. I think you're looking at something good there. And I think, it's 6.5, right?
It's 6. Well, it's currently it scores and odds. It's right at 6, and this one moves according to Las Vegas hotels. So the average is -6 right now. I don't like the Saints. You know, if you held a gun to my head, I'd take the Cowboys. Because even if the Cowboys lose, they might be up 14 with 10 minutes left, and they lose. Do you know what I mean?
I think you're looking at the same situation we talked about in the previous game with Carolina and San Francisco. I just see that that's too many points on the board, and I gotta go with Dallas. I don't think they'll win. I think New Orleans will win it on a field goal, what have you. But I don't like that.
No, I agree. Listen, Tony Mazur with Yahoo Sports. Tony, how do people get a hold of you on Twitter?
They can find me at Tony Mazur, TonyMazur. Nice Polish name. And you can find us on Yahoo Sports, the podcast I do with John Kupo, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Podcast One, the podcast center on Yahoo Sports and iTunes.
You got it, Tony. Tony, thanks for coming on as usual. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks,
we'll
guys.
See you in New York next week.
Bazinga. 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 Bazinga.